Today we're going to look at our second part of our 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2 sermon series with Hannah. Hannah, last week we found her as someone who desired, had a dream of having a child, but she was barren. In fact, the word says that God had closed her womb, that she couldn't have a child. And we see that she was so passionate that even with people around her putting her down, basically saying it can't happen, people who even were like, well, I'm not good enough. You don't actually need that dream. It's fine. What you have is good enough. She said, no, I'm going to be passionate and cry out to the Lord and let God do what God does. Went to the house of the Lord, and Eli, in fact, called her a drunkard, said, you are crazy. Basically, you're a crazy woman. And she said, I'm not crazy. I have a dream that God has given me, and I'm going to see it happen. And we saw at the end that Eli said, it's going to happen. It's been granted. We saw that her and Elkanah, they conceived, and that they were going to have a child. Just an amazing moment. But the story doesn't end there, and you can continue in the coming weeks reading 1 Samuel. There's so much good stuff. But today we're going to look at 1 Samuel 1, 21 through 2, verse 10. And the first part in Samuel 1, 21 says, the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she had said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Now, if you remember last week, why is the child going to go to the house of the Lord and dwell forever? Because in praying, she committed, she vowed to the Lord, if you'll give me a son, I will give him back to you. And not just the normal time period or the normal thing of what the children would have done, but I will give him to you for his whole life. So here we see that she is going to wean him, which means somewhere between 2 and 3 years, she had the blessing of this child, and then she's going to take this child to the house of the Lord and leave him. Now, first of all, I might be a bad person. We've had 5 children, but to have a child from 1 to 3 or 0 to 3 and then give them away, that seems very difficult. That's the hardest time, right? That's the lack of sleep. That's what she's in. God gave her this dream, and then now that the baby maybe is almost off of diapers, you know, give him to the Lord. She honored her vow. Verse 23 says, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, and a peff of flour, and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he has lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. When I think about a thankfulness hotline, I think of, Lord, you are so good. You did this work. You did this miracle. You gave me this kid. But most of us in the room don't think of maybe the other side of that, of bringing that child to the temple, of giving that child to the house of the Lord, of offering that child fully back to God. Absolutely amazing. And today I want to look at 3 things. That to me should be pointers to give thanks, should say this is time to give thanks, to keep the hotline going. The first one is past miracles. God gave Hannah and Elkanah this child. God gave them the blessing. He did a special work in her life, opened her womb, and gave Elkanah that firstborn born from his loved wife, Hannah. When I think of this situation, and I think of their day, as I was studying, you learn that Elkanah could have said, I'm not going to take the vow that my wife made. Because in their day and age, the wife could not make a vow unless that was binding, unless the husband basically put a stamp of approval on it. And Elkanah said, I will do what you feel that God has called you to do. He put the stamp of approval, which made it so there was this day that would have been very, very sad. I can't actually imagine taking one of our kids and giving that kid to anyone, but taking that kid to the house of the Lord. But it says in verse 24 that there was a bull that they took to sacrifice. Some of your Bibles today could say a three-year-old bull, and some of your Bibles might say three bulls. As I was doing some study, what she took to take care of it, and different manuscripts, it would say three bulls or a three-year-old bull. But the key to the point of that is that both of those were more than what she had to take as a thank offering to the Lord. Both of those were more than what she had to do to be correct in their system. There's something that is an amazing attribute when you can say, Lord, I am so thankful that you gave me a child. I'm so thankful for what you did in the past that I'm going to give you more in my thanks to you, more in my response to you than what I'm required. I'm not going to go the minimum, but I'm going to go way over and above what I have to do. Hannah, even in the moment that this must have been the most difficult time of her life to say, here's my child, she said, I'm going to give thanks. And I'm not going to give thanks a little, but Elkanah and her went over and above what they had to do. There's something powerful when we praise God for what he's done. There's something powerful that will even let our thanks to him be on next level because we realize he's moved, he's shown himself, he's going to do it again, and I can give thanks, I can worship, I can give an offering, I can give him praise, unlike I could if I didn't understand the goodness of God and what he has done in my life. Gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make and be not poorer, but richer for having made it. Tozer said that. There's something powerful about gratitude, about praise, that you don't get poorer when you give out your thanks, your praise, your worship to God. But when you give out of the goodness of God and you thank him and praise him and lift him up, when you're thankful for what he's doing, you become rich in your spirit. You become rich in who you are. There's something that happens when we understand that when I praise him for what he's done, it's going to have effects on my future. It's going to have effects on where I am going. We praise him. We thank him for past miracles, but we also praise him for the present realities and right where we are walking. Hannah in chapter 2, verse 1, prayed and said, my heart exalts the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. And there's something that happens as we praise God that all of a sudden for the past I can now say, but Lord, look what you have done. Look what you are doing. Look how you are moving in the moment I am in. One more reminder, she has brought her son to leave him in the house of the Lord, her only child at the tabernacle. But she says, my heart exalts in Yahweh. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. She shows her depth of commitment and love that no matter what it is, whatever the case is, she exalts the Lord. She praises the Lord. She gives glory to the Lord. Because her enemies have nothing on her. That nothing can happen because God brings salvation. God brings the truth into her life and the reality of a child, a reality of the blessing of the dream coming to pass. There's something powerful about thanking the Lord. There's something powerful about lifting him up. There's something powerful about praising him because of what he is doing right now. Verse 2, there's none holy like the Lord. This morning as we were singing, holy, 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 I remember as a kid, I took, super sorry, mom and dad, but 5.5 years of piano lessons, I believe. It was a long, long time. That was one of the worst investments my parents have ever made. In fact, it is the worst because it was just throwing the money away. But I remember having one songbook, Holy, 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 and I loved playing that song. I loved singing that song on our piano. That was like the only thing I remember about playing piano for 5 years. I can't imagine the cost, but I remember that song. There's something that happens when right now, no matter where I am, I can praise him. I exalt you. Holy are you, Lord. You are so good. In the middle of a problem or a situation or on a mountaintop experience, I say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. There's none beside you. There's not a rock like our God. When I let the words of the truth of who he is become my heart, my desires, who I am, then no matter where I am, no matter what my money situation looks like or my health situation looks like, or maybe right now some people who are at home who are struggling because you just want to see people, you want to get out. You're not in a place where you feel that is the right thing to do. And you're just like, I just need to see people. You can know today that God is with you. He's in present right with you. And I encourage you in the place at home to praise him. There's none holy like the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. There's none beside him. There's no rock like our God. He is so good. He is present. He is with you. And he loves you. Talks in verse 3 about proud and not being proud and not walking in arrogance. And I think it's important because when I think I have the answers, when I think I know what I should do, when I think I'm going to do my will, my desire, what I want, then thanks does not roll off my mouth anymore. It changes. And instead of, Lord, I thank you, even in the midst, it's, Lord, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to connive a plan to get where I think I should go. Instead of, Lord, I can just worship you. I can thank you. I can come before you. I can look like a crazy person like Hannah if I need to, worshiping and praying and pouring myself out to God. But Lord, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to lift you up and exalt you no matter what comes my way. Lord, take any pride, take any arrogance, take any I deserve out of my life. And instead, Lord, today, would you show me your way? Lord, I'm just going to worship. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to lift you up. She said that she's going to have a seven, or that's a sign of many, of great blessing, of great just anointing in her life. And we see in verse 21 that she ended up having six kids, that when God blesses and we stand upon the truth of his word, he gives us more than we desired. Even as she's giving her son to the Lord, she didn't know what was going to happen, but God brought blessing upon blessing upon blessing. God brought Samuel to live in their hometown later on in life, so God to bring them back together. God is moving right now in the present to see his work come and happen and be fulfilled in your life. Rick Warren says, happy moments, in those, praise God. In difficult moments, seek God. In quiet moments, worship God. In painful moments, trust God. In every moment, thank God. And I believe when I can understand that right now, in the present, in this exact moment, if it's good or bad, happy or sad, I get to look to the Lord. I get to praise him. And as I thank him, as I glorify him, as I lift him up, he's going to do something in me. He's going to do something and stir something in me. But it's a matter of, am I going to thank? Am I going to pray? Am I going to lift him up? Or am I going to whine and cry? And am I going to just fall away? Am I going to get angry? Am I going to get bitter? What am I going to do? Because that's really our options. Am I going to thank the Lord for what he's doing? Or am I going to let pride and arrogance come upon me? Happy moments. Praise him. Difficult moments, seek him. Quiet moments, worship him. Painful moments, trust him. Every moment, thank him. Thank him for the past. Thank him for the present. And I'm thankful that we get to thank him for the future as well. We don't know what's coming. We don't know the end. Well, we know the end. We know God wins. We know he's on the throne. We know we get to dwell with him, those that are a part of his family. We don't know tomorrow. There's a little gap in there. We've got a space in there. But God is on the throne. Yesterday, Pastor Rachel and I, we left our house, and our builder that is putting an addition on our house, when they left, they were starting, they had put some trim in, they're doing all of the baseboards around the windows, They were finishing up a few painting things. They were finishing up some electrical, putting lights in, all those sorts of things. So when we got home at 2:30, at 5:30, our family was coming over. I like that. It should be that loud or more. When we walked in the door, I didn't realize that they were going to come back. He said he was going to come back, but I didn't know that meant they didn't clean up. So there was dust, sawdust, all of the cutting of our addition, all of the little pieces of wood, a huge pile like this big of it, sawdust everywhere. So Rachel and I, we kind of walk in. I think we both might have been like, ugh. And then we worked, and we had not seen our space open with the floors and with the furniture and with walls painted. We hadn't seen all of these things put together. In fact, in our current space, there was just a pile of furniture that was going to be dispersed throughout the new space and that space. And you could not envision it. But at about 3:30, we had the floors clean. All of that stuff was gone. At about 4, the furniture was laid out. At about 5, so 30 minutes before, we started to say, "This looks awesome." It was so exciting. It was such a cool thing. And so often in our life, we see the pre-work. We see there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And it's hard to thank the Lord when you're like, "This is going to stink. This is going to be hard. I don't know if we're going to get it done." But when we thank him and we praise him for what's even going to be, even before we know what that is, it just primes the pump. It gets us to a place where we can say, "It is going to happen." And you know, there might have been at least 30 seconds where maybe both of us were like, "We could just go to mom and dad's tonight. We don't have to get it done tonight." I mean, you know, but it's like, no way. This is what we're going to do. And I think in our life so often, we say, "We'll just wait. We'll just let it be. We'll just not ever finish it." And God's saying, "Thank me, praise me, get on the right trail. And I want to do what I want to do in your life." But am I going to have people that are going to say yes? Am I going to have people that are going to thank in the midst of the storm? Am I going to have people that are committed and say, "I'm all in, no matter what it takes"? There's a thankfulness hotline. There's a hotline to the Lord that we need to walk in. 1 Samuel 2, 6 through 10, the Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up from the poor, or the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his kings and exalt the horn of his anointed. And I don't know about anybody else, but I say, come on, God's got my future. He's got the end. He knows what's coming. He tears down and he builds up. And I love the first verse there, verse 6. Talks about Sheol, this place that would have been a place of judgment, would have been a place that no one wants to be. A huge underground cave. It says he can bring out of that. He can pull us from any situation, the worst situation you can think of, when you begin to say, "God, I've messed up," or, "God, I'm in this place. God, I don't know what to do." I encourage you, start to worship. Start to thank him. Start to praise him. Start to say, "Lord, what you've got for me, that's what I want. Where you're taking me, that's where I'm going to go. I don't know how. I don't know what it's going to look like, but Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you lead me. I thank you that you bring me out of the dark space. I thank you that you bring me into your promised land, into what you have, into your future glory that you have prepared for me." The Lord brings us out. The Lord makes us rich. The Lord brings us to a place in a spiritual way that he has called us to and that he wants us to be. But are we faithful? Are we faithful to thank him, to praise him, to worship, to stay true to him no matter what I feel or no matter what it looks like? The goodness of God, he wants to pour it out. He wants to move. He wants to show himself. The adversaries of the Lord are broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. As I was looking at this verse, Many would say that Hannah here speaks of this king. She looked ahead to a Messiah, to the Messiah who was going to come. It was going to fulfill the word of God, and uses that word anointed, the horn of his anointed. When Hannah spoke of his king, she looked ahead. But this word anointed was important because this was the first place in the Bible where Jesus is referred to as the Messiah. It's the first place where that word Messiah in Hebrew or Christ in Greek or anointed in English would have been used. After this, we see throughout the Old Testament and the New, David, Nathan, Isaiah, Daniel, the prophets, the apostles, the inspired writers of the New Testament who called the Lord, who called Jesus the anointed, who called Jesus the Messiah. It came first from Hannah. It came from a lady who was giving her child over to the work of the Lord. It came from a lady, the first in the Bible, that made a vow that was honored and that God honored in this way that was showed in the Bible. It came from a lady who went to the house of the Lord, where normally in the Bible the men would have done that. It came from a lady who thanked God, who praised God, who worshiped God, who interceded for the dreams and the visions. And all of a sudden, the anointed, the Messiah, these words came from Hannah that spread throughout the entire Old Testament, through the New, into Jesus. She pointed to the future of what God had for her in the midst of what had to be her most difficult day. And church, I believe God wants to use some of you to do your greatest things, to have your greatest prayers, to have your greatest moments, even when it doesn't seem like that is when it should happen. Even when we're discouraged, even when we don't know. We say, Lord, I'm going to praise, I'm going to thank, I'm going to worship, I'm going to give you everything I have. Today, on a Thanksgiving weekend, I pray it's not one weekend a year where we say thank you for a Thursday off, but it's our constant, everyday way of life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. I give you worship. I thank you, Lord, for the new job that I got. And Lord, I thank you that even though I just lost my job, that you still have me. I thank you when it's good and I'm healthy. And Lord, when I'm not healthy, Lord, I thank you that I get to walk through this with you. Whatever way it is today, I thank you. And as I worship and as I pray, God will move. God will speak. God will do something in your life, in your heart, in your situation. Today, if you are struggling, maybe it's 2020, the year that all the memes would say we're just trying to get past, get to 2021. Maybe there's something else in your life. Maybe you're struggling with anxiety. You're struggling with depression. Today is the day to begin to praise God in the midst of those issues, of those problems. Today is the day to begin to thank God. Ann Lott said the key to thankfulness is not to view God through the lens of our circumstances, but to view our circumstances through the lens of God's love and sovereign purpose. And there's something that happens when I say, Lord, it doesn't matter where I am or what it looks like. I look to you and I thank you because you are sovereign. You are loving. You care for me. And today, as we prepare here in a minute to leave this room and to head out of here, my question is, are we thanking him? If it's easy right now, it's good, job's good, life's good, family's good, friends are good. Are you thanking him? And are you thanking him if it feels the exact opposite of that? If it's hard, if parenting is hard, if being alive is hard, if being at home way more than normal is hard, I've got a question today, church. Can we thank the Lord? Can we thank him like Hannah? We might be crying out, Lord, let this pass from me. Lord, let this go. But in my prayer, in my passion, Lord, thank you that I get to lift you up. Lord, thank you that you are so good. Lord, thank you that I know you. Thank you for bringing me through before. Thank you for what's happening now. Lord, I thank you that you win. It's going to happen. The dream's coming. It's coming to pass. Come on, it's coming, church. This morning, before we leave, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, there's no bigger and better decision and choice than that. All you have to do, it is absolutely amazing, is just ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, Lord, come, give me a new heart. You just have to ask him, repent of your sin. Lord, forgive me and make me new. In fact, Pastor Dave, you have that verse from the first service. Rachel, if you want to grab him the microphone, Pastor Dave had a word, and I think it goes perfectly today with this sermon.
Peter in 1 Peter 2, verse 6, said, "And he who believes in him shall not be disappointed." And I believe the Lord gave me that word to give to you, that you believe in the Lord, you won't be disappointed. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior and you believe in him for the first time, you will not be disappointed that you give your life to him.
Come on.
And those of you that serve the Lord, you believe in him, you put your faith in him, you put your trust in him. No matter what else is going on, you won't be disappointed.
Come on. Church, today, if you've never given your life to Jesus, right now, in the quiet of your heart, I just encourage you, would you just ask him, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I repent from the things I've done that have hurt God and hurt others, that have hurt somebody else, that have hurt myself, of sin. I repent of sin, all of it, and I make you Lord of my life." And he welcomes you in. In fact, the word says that when one person gives their heart to the Lord, jumps into the family, all of heaven rejoices. That's what we are all about. One more for Jesus. One more for Jesus. Today, if you've never done it, ask him. Today, if you're with somebody, tell them, "I just gave my life to Jesus. Come see me. Talk to one of the pastors. We want to pray for you." There's nothing better than that decision, and you will not be disappointed. Second, today, if you're here and you have been struggling, you've been hurting, you've been in pain for whatever reason, I'm believing that God is speaking to a few people, saying, "Don't get bitter, but get thankful. Don't get bitter, but get thankful. And as you're thankful, I'm going to take care of it. I've got you. Just hold in there. Don't get bitter. Don't be proudful. Don't try to do it yourself. Thank the Lord today. Worship the Lord today and watch him move, just like in Hannah. Brought the one. She gave the one. Brought five more. And brought Samuel back to that hometown, the Bible says. Awesome points. I love it when the Bible does that. When we give away, God brings back. He's got you. As we close today, I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you as a church. We are going to go. We're going to share the love of Jesus. We're going to worship him. And let's leave in a thankful manner. Let's praise the Lord. Maybe as a family, call somebody up, whatever you need to do. Let's tell somebody of the goodness of God and what he has done in your life. You might say, "I have been going through it, but I'm so thankful that God has got me and he's bringing me out on the other side. No matter what it is, he's got me. He loves me. And I'm going to make it because I'm with him. Thank you, Lord." So, Lord, this morning we are thankful. Thankful for those that just gave their lives to you, the greatest decision that could ever be made. Thank you for them. Lord Jesus, we ask more and more and more people to receive you. Lord, we ask you right now for those that are struggling, Lord, that they wouldn't get bitter, that there wouldn't be anything in their heart that would be not from you, but instead, Lord, that a wave of thankfulness would come on people who are struggling right now. Lord, that thankfulness, the words, worship, would come forth from them and their circumstances would change. Lord, we thank you and ask that even the word that you spoke to Hannah, the prayer that Hannah gave, God, we ask you today to move in people's hearts, to bring those dreams into reality and give us the strength to be thankful and patient while we wait, God. Lord, you're sovereign. You love. And our circumstances, we're not looking at them in any other way, but Lord, we wait on you. We stand with you. And Lord, as a church today, I pray that a word that came last week, that we ask you, Lord, to open the womb of RLC to birth the dreams and visions you have spoken to your servants. Say it again, we ask you to open the womb of RLC, the people to birth the dreams and visions you have spoken to your servants. Lord, I pray that the dreams and visions that might seem dormant, Lord, that maybe seem like they have never gonna happen, or Lord, we don't know what's going on. God, we ask you to do your work, to open up those dreams, to open up those visions. And Lord, we pray that we would see you move as we thank you, as we praise you, as we glorify you. And Lord, we pray for those that maybe literally they are believing for a child, Lord, and they have been struggling. They haven't been able to see a child come yet. God, we pray that you would open their womb. We pray that you would bring that miracle just like Hannah. Lord, that here in the next several months, we're going to hear of people who say God moved. God moved. He gave me that dream. He gave me what I was believing for in a child. Lord, we pray for literal new life to go along with spiritual new life. We thank you, Lord. You are so, so good. We glorify you. We praise you, and we worship you today, Jesus. It's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. Come on, church. Let's thank the Lord this week. Let's glorify the Lord this week. Let's give him everything and tell somebody of the goodness of God this week. Come on. This week, be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. See you soon.